T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Good afternoon, St. Louis DGS. I'm KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. So this is the crossover hour we do every day with Amy and Chris from the show. Today's going to be a little bit different because Wheeler is at home. He's with us. He's on some contraption. So it should sound like he's in the studio, but for us, he's not. It's going to be the quietest the studio has been in a very long time. He joins us now. He's at home prepping for a colonoscopy tomorrow. Hello, Kev.
Hello. So, yep, just getting ready for, what is to come here later this afternoon.
The flood?
Yeah, the deluge.
Ew.
So nothing started yet, right?
No, I don't actually start the what do you call it, the drink that you got to do, the whole, I don't really start that for like another hour and a half, but I've been told, sorry, I didn't mean to say but it kicks in apparently anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes to like an hour, hour and a half. So
it's that fast? Like 15 minutes it can be?
I don't know. This is what I've been told. It says like an hour or two, but you know, I've had people tell me that it kicked in faster than that. So I don't know.
I think they've changed it. When I did it, I was just telling the guys I'm overdue. I need to get that done. My mom had colon cancer when she was in her 70s, so I'm, you know, special risk. I need to get back and do it again. But when I did it, it was pretty easy, and it was just one afternoon. I was pretty much clean by the time I went to bed. But now, as I understand it, you do it now, then you wake up early in the morning and do it again?
Yeah, so the instructions here are to take like 3/4 of it later on today in like a 2-hour window. And then in the morning, get up like 5 hours before you're supposed to get to the location and finish off the last quarter of it that's left.
Yeah,
no, that's fine. I don't have to be there till like 11:30, so it's not the end of the world.
That's not too bad.
Is this your first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because you're 51, too?
Yep.
52.
Yeah, one.
So I'm 45, and they say now that this is the age you're supposed to do it, and I haven't done it yet, but I need to. So let me know how it is.
I'll tell you this. I don't mind the idea of a little nap there. I don't know. I'm a little weird, but the times that I've been put under, it's like at the time as I'm about to fall asleep, like, this is awesome. I'm ready to go sleep.
That's the only part I would dread.
I totally agree with you.
I did not like it.
I don't like, so when I got my wisdom teeth out, that was the last time I had been put under.
Oh.
I hate that feeling. I don't like it. And I know it happens very quickly, but it's still the anxiety I get.
Really?
Wow. In the lead up to getting put under, it's not good.
I'm the same.
Huh. Really? I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like, once they say, okay, here we go, I'm like, all right, let's go. I want to sleep. I'm also a bad waker-upper at the end of it, though. Apparently, my wife says I am hilarious.
We were making fun of you when we were walking back from lunch, doing an impression of you, and you just did it.
I know, right?
Like, I'll give Andrew credit. He was very funny. We were very nicely mocking you, and Andrew was like, let's do it! Clean me out! Let's go! Gotta do it! And that's basically what he just did.
Two things. One, yes, I definitely have very imitatable mannerisms. And two, I am totally cool with being made fun of, even if it's not in good fun.
Well, good for you. You're doing the right thing for you and your family, and everyone should err on the side of being safe with these things. It's very avoidable kind of cancer, and, you know, sometimes, too, like someone we used to work with, his dad had colon cancer, and he had to get a colonoscopy, I think, every year.
Wow.
And every year they would find polyps. And, you know, some were more troublesome than others, but like it was like just that
aggressive mm-hmm. in his family. So you have to be careful.
Yep. Yeah, well, when I wrote the book on Terry Griggs, she had colon cancer, and she was otherwise very, very healthy. And the problem with colon cancer is it's a silent cancer mm-hmm. until it's very, very advanced. So by the time she started showing any symptoms, it had metastasized to her liver. And she was doing Ironman triathlons, and incredibly, she wasn't anemic. I mean, you know, even though she was losing some blood, and those types of symptoms started right after the Ironman. And so she thought, you know, I'm training really hard. I have this race. She had no idea that when she got a colonoscopy a couple of weeks after her Ironman race, where she did very well, that she had stage 4 colon cancer, metastasized to her liver. They had to take out 70% of her liver, like 11 inches of her colon. And they had said, you know, you could have about 2 years to live. And of course, she's fighting it. And she's kind of one of the new cancer patients who has been on chemo for many, many years. That was back in 2009. And her sisters got colonoscopies because Terry had colon cancer. And both of them, one of them had stage 2 colon cancer. Wow. And another girl was, the other sister was precancerous. And so Terry says, like, I saved their lives.
Yeah, same thing happened with Chris Everett, the tennis player. I think her sister had, I think it was breast cancer. It could be wrong. And Chris Everett went and got tested, and she had it too. She was like stage 1 or vice versa. Wow. I forget which one it was. But yeah, that stuff like that happens all the time.
And I think she just announced recently she went into remission, right?
I don't know.
Chris Everett, I think so.
All I know is Andrew doesn't know who Chrissy Everett is. That came up a couple days ago.
Not a clue.
Really?
It's one of those makes me feel
not
old
a clue.
Things.
Yep.
Oh, we found that out during Pyramid, right?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Because the clue was Serena.
So you're 45 and you still talk like a baby, huh, Ron?
I know, dude. That's what I was told.
Boy.
Yeah.
Well, you heard on the.
Did you hear this one, Wheels?
I did. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
The lady hitting on me?
Yeah. Say, I think she like a meetup.
Yeah. That's exactly what
that is. You took that as a sexy time?
That's
how guys are.
Yeah.
You criticize us for like
pretty good point.
Pigtails.
She wants me.
Somebody wants the run.
I was like, this poor lady is so patronizing and condescending, really looks down on Ronji, and Ronji's like,
like, you're a. Did you hear her? She said, you're a big boy now. Like, hey. Hello, Dottie.
He's like, all I heard was big boy.
Yeah. Hey, big boy. Let's go, Dottie. I have evidence.
I shouldn't be so defensive. Like, I get it. I mean, look at what we do. I'm going to spend the next 3 hours crapping on celebrities I'll never meet, right? Then someone says something slightly, you know, criticizing us. We're like, screw off.
You walk into the room. Hi, Amy. Wow, looks like you've got low flow hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was a little taken aback by that, I'll be honest.
This is what my hair always looks like. I can't tell. I don't know what I did different. I said I put conditioner on, but I tried to fix my hair.
I think your hair looks fine.
When people make something out of something that isn't something. I really do.
Is that what I'm doing?
Oh, 100%.
I just thought it was odd because I didn't see anything wrong with Amy's hair, and Dave was like, oh, you got a low flow hairdo today. And Chris was like, yeah, it looks like your shower pressure needs to be raised. And I was just like, wow, okay. I guess
I'm missing something. I did use conditioner, but then I thought, like, honestly, I was like, okay, dead serious. I thought, I used conditioner. That must be it. But then I realized I didn't notice I had low flow hair. And then my second immediate thought was, oh my gosh, my brother's getting married on Sunday and I'm fixing my own hair. I don't know how to fix my hair, it seems.
Well, for a little,
I didn't recognize low flow.
A little background, you did during the show today. We were in the middle of a break and you said, something's wrong with my hair. I wonder what it is today.
I need to learn how to fix my hair. This is fixed.
You and I go through together about a month ago? It was very positive when I said, like, oh, your hair XYZ, and you're like, you're the only person that notices. Remember that?
I think it was. Yeah, but it wasn't
remember that?
My hair.
Yeah, because her hair looked especially nice. You did something to it, and I saw it in the hallway. I'm like, I like your hair, blah, blah, blah. And you said, no one ever notices my hair. Thank you very much.
Did that happen?
And that same a-hole just said,
Why are you doing this? I do what?
Oh, my. Wow. Look at what's happening over there.
This seems problematic. It took me aback.
You need to work on your aback then, because if you're that sensitive.
I was aback too.
Okay, thank you.
I was aback because I also don't know how to fix the situation. Here's my problem. You don't you can't fix the situation if you don't know there's a situation. And I didn't know there was a situation until there was a low flow situation that was pointed out to me by the two gentlemen in the room.
Yeah, the two guys walked in and went, "What's wrong with your hair?"
Well, I wasn't going to say anything, but Dave broke the ice, so.
Yeah. But is it
also
grease?
This is what guilt by association is. This happens with this guy all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I'm mad at him because I said, I got the low flow hair. Done. We're done. Other than this one going like, oh my God. Oh my God. He said low flow. But then Ranji, the big boy's like, yeah. And you're a little skinny and your jeans fit weird. And I don't think you're smart as you say. I'm like, take it easy. Take it easy.
I'm pretty sure you said that yesterday.
As long as we're criticizing Amy.
He goes, you don't know that. Yeah. You just
And then Ranji goes, I didn't know how to broach the subject. Then he laid it out. That's not at all what happened.
I'm looking for my in.
It was yesterday, 2 days ago. Ranji goes, you didn't know that. You read it.
Suddenly.
That's how you gain like, knowledge.
She's like Will Hunting reciting of like by memory.
You weren't born with that knowledge.
Yeah.
You read that somewhere.
What man taught you that?
He was
Oh, whoa, come on. Andrew?
That's what you said.
I did not.
Basically.
Basically. Jeez.
You know what I've realized? We all make each other better.
Is that what it is?
Really?
And Dottie is into you.
Oh, Dottie, call me. Again.
Oh, so did she call in live or was like a left a message thing?
No, that was our voicemail line. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, I got an email last week that I say like too much. I wonder if it was from the same woman. It. You know what? It's kept me on my toes. I've tried to cut back. I'll be honest.
Everyone has them. Everyone has little peccadillos.
Crutch.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And I will say when I... Radio's not my background, so when I got into radio, you realize you have crutches. And I think for a while, a long while, I started every question with, so...
Well,
so,
it's very easy.
How do you feel about that?
Mine is, I think, it is, here's the thing. I think I say that a lot.
You do say that.
Yeah, yeah.
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 You say that.
Sorry, I'm working on it.
Nail me to the cross, I guess.
You think you know, and you think you're like special for knowing. So
yeah.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm going to point out something to you that none of you are seeing.
I know
what he knows
this.
Didn't come from book learning.
No.
Didn't come from the,
these
fancy books.
You don't know that. You read it.
Genetic memory.
What a great quote.
That's not exactly what I said. I thought it was funnier than that.
Yes, I did. Oh. I did read that in a book.
Everything Ranji knows he picked up on the streets of Pontoon Beach.
Not Granite City, Dave.
Hey, hey, this is the same. This is my story.
We don't go to Pontoon
Beach.
They're
the same.
Wheels, you having fun?
I am. I'm laughing my butt off here.
Well, Scoots ain't started yet.
No, not yet. A little bit later.
121 DGS on KMOX. We have a surprise guest for you, my buddy George from Throttle Net. Was literally outside. He's here for a meeting, and he was looking in. Hey, Dave, how you doing? And I wanted to talk about Throttle Net, the IT guys, and I wanted to talk about this chat GPT thing. But then George goes, hey, can I come on and talk about Amy's hair? Because there's something weird going on. And I'm like, hey, it's your funeral, dude.
I mean.
Okay. I don't know nothing about nothing. You know that.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing these things about this chat GPT and how it's either the beginning of the world or it's the end of the world. And so I want you to tell us in dumb guy terms what it is.
Okay.
But then I'm also very intrigued, having a daughter that's going into her freshman year of college, that the high school and college kids are using it to cheat their asses off.
Yes. 100%. It is fascinating, actually. It's artificial intelligence and not to the Terminator style. We're not talking about picking up a weapon
Skynet.
And coming after you.
Yeah.
Skynet, thank you. But it is fascinating in the fact that it searches the internet constantly and gathers every piece of information that's out there. Everything. And you can go on and ask it. Now, if you can get on, that's the problem, is the world's trying to get on it right now and their servers are crashing.
When you say it, is it a website?
It literally is a website. Yes, it's a website. And you go, just type in GPT.AI, and you can go on. You have to create an account. But when you go on, it literally is just a simple text box. And you can ask it anything you want, anything. You just say, tell me what Tony Stark Iron Man, for those nerds that are not nerds.
I knew it.
You say, tell me what Tony Stark thinks about puppies. And, like, the AI will go out and search all of what the fictional character Tony Stark has said on the internet and bring back an answer. It's fascinating. And in Yale, this kid actually did a research on it. You know, he was doing a term paper, turns in the paper, and he had a fact incorrect that the Continental Army had met in Jersey over at a particular time and date. And actually, it was New York. And the professor caught it and asked him how, you know, did he not understand the context of what was taught? And he said, oh, no, I use this chat thing. And so from now on, they're doing oral examinations only. Wow. They're not doing any written term papers.
So, for the room, if that is the current technology, is it cheating? Like when we
It's a great question.
Went from writing to typewriting, from typewriting to electric typewriter, from electric typewriter to word processor, like
from a slide rule to a calculator.
Are we just using the modern technology? What do you guys think?
That's the debate, and that's where it's going to get a little crazy because you're going to have to. At some point, that will be the norm.
Yeah. Amy, you're a book reader. What do you think?
Yeah. No, I find it super depressing, and I do think the more and more students that use ChatGPT now, it is going to show up. They're not going to be able to communicate at the level that they're portraying.
So they're cheating themselves.
They're cheating themselves, right? And I think those who do know how to communicate will have advantages that will reveal themselves by orders of magnitude as more and more kids use ChatGPT to cheat their way through the system. But it's unique that because students are saying, well, it's not cheating because there's no plagiarism. It is original content that's right. being driven. There is a 22-year-old Princeton student who created GPT-0, which is now trying to identify what has been written using ChatGPT because ChatGPT can write and create original essay responses, but also mathematical equations. It can do anything. And so this Princeton student created this app, and within a few days, it had 7 million hits because so many teachers and educators are trying to figure out how to
identify it. So I don't think what I'm about to say is really even all that outlandish. But we have ChatGPT, which will be exponentially better in a year. Elon Musk is already putting chips in monkey brains. Mm-hmm. How long is it until humans have the option to put that in your brain so that you literally have access to all the knowledge of humanity?
And that's where I think that's where we're going, is that the technology is going to be more and more integrated into who you are, how you live, what you do every single day. But I could not agree with you more in the fact that children growing up are not going to have the writing skills, mm-hmm. the social skills. They're not going to have what we take for granted every day as adults. I'm almost 49 years old. So, I mean, I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and you had to learn. You had to write. If you didn't write your own paper, you could never
Eventually,
find anybody to cheat for you.
It would bite you in the butt.
As you become an adult, yeah.
Totally get what everyone's saying. It reminds me of something I put on the show sheet today, that kids today are scoring lower in math, and they've traced it back to the fact that as children, they're not playing with blocks and things like that as much, so they're not getting that tangible, like, one, two, three. They're just learning it in a classroom. I mean, this seems like that on steroids, though. Like, you just bypass any sort of learning process.
Yeah. Well, and also with the writing, it's technically correct, but it doesn't have the nuance, the analytical thinking, the same, I mean, I guess you could say analytical thinking, but here's the difference. As they say, anybody can play notes, but not everyone can play music. It's the same thing with the essays. There's Brian Christian is an author, he's a philosopher and a computer engineer. He was selected to take the Turing test, where you have to guess which is a computer or are you talking to a human. And his conclusion at the end of the book, because everyone's terrified that AI is becoming more human, and he said, AI is not becoming more human. Humans are becoming more robotic.
And there's something, this is worse. This will have a greater negative impact than going from typewriters to computers in that sense, because that was a way for people to get their actual thoughts that they came up with in their own brains out. You know, get the thoughts out onto paper, get it out onto a screen. But now you're having a device be able to make the thoughts for you. That's a developmental problem. And I think it'll show up later.
Agreed. I mean, you're right. You're so right. Part of even just writing a college essay, or high school essay, was the research. Mm-hmm. Remember the old statement, you know, you can know everything and know nothing at the same time, mm-hmm. because everything's available to you. You just got to know where to look. You have to know where to look. Well, now you've ruined technology is now taking away the ability to learn how to research. So if I can't find an answer to my problem, I'm just going to depend on the AI to go out and solve my problem. When really you need to learn how to do the research, and not just in books, but in everything, on how to fix your car and how to everything. It's crazy how everything's just, it's changed so much in just 30 years.
Thanks for popping on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
If you guys need to know more smart guy stuff, go to throttlenet.com/DGS.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
133 DGS. That was fun and fortuitous for George just to be out there looking through the glass. I want to move on to something else, but I also want to get Wheeler's take on that. So Wheels, the ChatGPT thing, the AI, if a student uses it, if your daughter uses it in her PhD program, is she cheating or no?
Did we lose Kevin?
He's booming. Nope.
There he is. Hey.
Yep. Still here.
Did you hear me?
Here.
Did you hear
me? I heard the last part.
Go ahead and answer it based on what you heard.
All right, so I wouldn't say it was cheating, but it's a shortcut, and I don't know if that's a distinction without a real difference.
That's a distinction.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that all of these things should be about your ideas, right? Mm-hmm. Like your ideas, and they're not putting in your ideas through the ChatGPT, which I have open right now, by the way, and it's too busy to do anything. It won't let me
sign
up
or anything
like that.
Tried to open it up, too.
I mean, I want to play with it, too. I mean, I had no idea what it was. Like, when I hear smart guy stuff, I just glaze. There's no chance I'm going to go look into it. But now that I know that it's accessible, even to someone like me, like, what's Paul McCartney's favorite fruit? You know, like, that's just fascinating to play with. Amazing.
If you're doing it, like if you're a songwriter and you're stuck and you want to do it, that's one thing. If you want to write your own little short story and it's acceptable to you, because that's your own create, it's yours to do with what you want. But when you're being tested on material, when you're supposed to be learning stuff, not sure that should pass in a school setting.
I just think writing is so painful. It's awful. It's laborious. The process of it forces you to organize everything that you think you know. And one of my favorite writers and writers for writing advice is Kurt Vonnegut. And he said, if you can't write clearly, then you don't think as clearly as you think you do. And that's so true. If you can't write it out and lay it out in a way that makes sense, that's engaging and communicates, sorry, your thoughts aren't nearly as clear as you think they are.
We're not talking about writing books. It's writing anything. It's an essay. Yeah. It's a two-page paper, whatever it is. You should be able. And I know it's difficult for some people have an easier time at it than others. It should be a process, and it should be somewhat difficult, because when you do that, you're exercising your brain. It's the simplest way to put it.
Is WALL-E going to be prophetic that we're all fat and floating around in a big, giant cruise spaceship somewhere?
Is that what WALL-E is?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
They're in chairs, and they just get food handed to them. It's really depressing.
I mean, it kind of feels like that's,
there.
You know?
Yeah. I think too many of us like doing things. Like, we may not like doing boring tasks, but, I mean, a lot of people like to go do things, play sports, you know, whatever. I don't think we're going to get to that.
I mean, you can condition yourself to enjoy certain behaviors, you know, lazy ones or whatever. But I think inherently people do want to be active. I think it's just how you're built. You know, your body's built to move.
I think you'll get to a certain percentage of the population that's very WALL-E-esque.
Right.
But then there will always be a percentage that is driven, motivated, wants to be active. I can't figure out lazy. I try to be like empathetic of everything except for laziness I have a hard time with. And I'm not, I'm just talking about any passion, curiosity, yeah, anything that you want to do.
So is laziness to you, mm-hmm, empirical, or is it conditional and situational? And what I'm thinking of is, like, I think my grandpa is kind of a piece of crap, but I mean, like, other people's grandpas, my intuition is, my trope is, mm-hmm, that people who are 100 or dying were like, I've only worked 12 hours today, you know, like, give me a coal mine, or give me a, I'm going to dig a hole and then fill it up. And then my dad worked 8 hours a day and took all the overtime he could. And then for me, like, 4 hours is enough. And so if you're born now, mm-hmm, and the standard is, oh yeah, my dad works, he works so hard, he works 2 days a week. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's the thing, though, is I don't even equate laziness, the antithesis of that being work. It's more of someone who is lazy, they value comfort and convenience above all else. So there's nothing that really pushes them to get up, get excited, get curious, or push themselves out of their comfort zone.
Andrew, so, I think that's your cue.
No, it doesn't have
yeah,
to be
I get
work.
The hint.
No. But I mean, I know a couple of people like that where they're not fun to be around. They're not curious. It's more of like, oh, just sit around, watch TV. And there's nothing that excites them, that it's, whether it's work or whether it's learning something or playing a sport, just something. Get up and be excited about it. There are some people who just, no.
What? Okay, what Amy is describing, I think describes a lot of people, maybe most. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. I'm struggling with the definition here, because that sounds also like a definition to me of someone who may be depressed, who may not
be
fully happy with where they are. Not by, like, you know, just like our normal standards of happy, but, you know, with what we understand of anxiety and depression and all that. To me, lazy is someone who because I'm an expert in lazy. I mean, I'm perfectly good at being lazy, and I'm also good at being the guy that'll work 12-hour days on a Sunday to coach baseball.
You're not, like, lazy.
No, but I can be, and I think it's much more of a choice. Like, to me, lazy is there's stuff I need to do, and I'm not going to do it because I don't want to.
That's procrastination.
That's different than just being
that's
like...
That's different, though. Procrastination's different than lazy.
I'm not saying procrastinating. I'm saying it's stuff I have to do. I don't want to, so I'm not going to.
Well, having
versus I have free time, and I'm going to do what I want with my free time.
Having robots and cyborgs and AI has always been the dream, at least like on television shows and movies, my whole life. Like, one of these days, we'll have nothing but free time. I, now that I've reached 58 and I'm closing in on retirement age, I'm thinking like someone that age, and I think that's a curse to a generation. I really do. It's like we've talked about, if you leave your kids $50 million, you could be cursing them because they don't have the experiences. They don't know what it's like to climb the hill. I don't know. Maybe I'm just old, but it feels to me like if my grandkids are born into a world where 90% of the stuff that we do today is done by machinery, I'm not sure that that's a benefit.
Yeah.
To me, that is an invitation for idle hands and bad mental health.
And see, maybe that falls into my definition, again, why I'm separating it from a career or what have you. I don't understand the concept of being bored. I could, like, I could have 1,000 days off in a row, and it wouldn't be enough because there are so many things I want to do. I want to do this. I want to run. I want to learn this.
I think you may be the outlier. That's what I'm saying.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so too.
I don't understand being bored. There are not enough hours in the day. There are too many things, and like I said, it's not just work. There are so many things in this world that
I think you're especially overactive.
Because I'm like moving all the
time.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you've got an energy that a lot of people don't have. Maybe it's because you run, or maybe you run because you have that energy. It could be any of that. I think when we talk about the greater conversation of laziness, I can't help but think about how a lot of people in this country in particular view another large group of people, and that is, they're all lazy and they don't. We've had the conversation, Kevin, a lot about, people don't want to work anymore.
Right.
You know, I think they do. But now I think people are aware to the point they want to do hard work, but they also want a reward for that hard work, not just hard work for the sake of doing it. I think they want to know that there's something at the other end of all the effort they're about to put into whatever it is, whether it's your job or, you know, some kind of endeavor. They want to know that something happens for all of their time. And I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
We all have our weird fears. And growing up the way I did and spending 20 years in 97.1, one of my fears is that I'm going to become a communist. And,
and I'm just going to slip into it one day.
How did that happen?
There's a hammer and sickle.
Exactly. I just wake up and I got a longer beard and I'm like, F. But I watched a TikTok the other day, and I think it was actually Saul Alinsky, whoever that guy is. But he was making some points. Like, he was saying, like, look, if you have ever had the thought or said to someone, like, I just don't feel like I'm being paid what I'm worth. He's like, duh, that's what capitalism is. That the only way that it works is if the people you employ do more work value than what you pay them for. That's your profit. That's your grift on top of it. And that's why capitalism works. And I was like, damn. Like, I've always known that, but no one's ever brought that right in front of my face. You feel what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the labor theory of value, which is like
the
Marxist theory. But I mean, here's the thing. It's your value.
Our own little chat GPT.
How replaceable are you?
Chat AMY.
It's how replaceable are you?
We hate labor.
Work is important, and there are certain jobs where it is easier to replace a worker than it is for another job. And the amount of investment preparation and the scarcity of people eligible for that job many times determines what the pay of that job is. It's like, it's just, don't look at me like that.
No, it was like that scene from Good Will Hunting.
That's what I just said. She recited it from a paragraph.
I feel like the guy that was showing up.
Where'd you get that from? Vickers, page 96? Yeah,
I like them apples.
There's nothing to recite. Read that too. It's just, I mean, that's the way it works. And if you have an idea.
Yeah, but is it necessarily good, though? Because there are jobs where people work their asses off. And yes, you could take that person who is almost like a machine to a company. They do a job that you don't have to have a special skill set for. Or you don't have to be especially brilliant, and replace them with another person who can do the same thing. But is it good that person may not be well compensated for working really hard and long hours?
I will say it may not be good, but the world's economies have yet to find a system that's better.
Andrew?
I don't know if that really equates to the value, right? Because you're talking about the value of a person, not the value to the company, right? Like, the value to the company ultimately doesn't matter if you're just...
Everyone sounds so smart.
I know, I'm just sitting here so confused.
We're in a funhouse mirror and everyone looks hot.
Like, you're saying...
Wait a minute. We are, though. Did you hear Dottie?
You're saying,
big boy.
We're big boys.
Hey, big boy.
You're saying the value to the company is how irreplaceable a person is, but if you can just take somebody and swap them out, that's more of a personal value level and not the value to the company. The value to the company remains the labor, not the person performing the labor.
That's what I'm saying. So that job, your salary isn't like you're worth $10,000 as a person. It's your services here. This job will pay $10,000. And if you want to jump into this job, you'll get $10,000 to do it. It's the job. It's how replaceable is that job.
Yeah.
All right, Rach, pressure's on. Okay.
Go ahead, Rachel. Say something.
I have nothing to say.
Which may be the smartest thing of all for all of us.
Yeah.
We've been jumping around all over the place here. I'm like, I don't know.
Listen, I have low-flow hair, so just let's just
trying to make up for it
all with a grain of salt.
Okay, I still don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Low flow means your faucet doesn't have enough water pressure.
Looks like my hair. He said it looks like
there's still soap. And so it's not getting the soap out.
It wasn't as poofy as it usually is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's usually pretty poofy because I use dry shampoo, but I washed it today. Oh. I think that's what you noticed.
The idea of dry shampoo doesn't make any sense.
Dry shampoo?
Mm-hmm.
To make them poofy?
Yeah, she had low flow. And
wait, why do you dry shampoo your guinea pig?
Well, she's dead now. because it's an animal and you just squirt, she's clean.
Who's the comedian that had the joke about dry cleaning when he said, you know, I just got my pants dry cleaned, and you say, oh, so does that mean it's dirty? Because if you're not using water, you can't clean anything.
Oh, boy.
Bronze, they have chemicals.
From communism to this, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I'm like a dry cleaner.
You're putting dry powder on your hair. That's not cleaning your hair.
I've gotten
chemicals work, buddy.
I don't know. I've gotten stuff back from the dry cleaner that I'm like, this does not smell fresh.
Yeah, because when the whole idea of wash, you need water to wash. Washing washes things away.
You're going backwards, Ron.
Yeah. We're going from the smart statements to the dumb ones.
Dottie? You keep on talking about that.
ChatGPT, what is dry cleaning?
Water's clean. Clean as water. Shut up.
I mean, I'm kind of with him. I've never had anything dry cleaned before because I'm from Grafton, and I just feel like
it's witchcraft.
Like, throw it in the washing machine and hang it out to dry.
It's a waste of money. Yes. Like you always say, Dave, just put it in the dryer for 30 seconds. It's fine.
Yeah. I've had good luck with air and cologne.
It's fine. So.
Has anybody ever tried to actually wash a suit in a washer? I want to see what happens.
Dry cleaning?
I washed a suit coat that said dry clean only, and it worked.
Oh boy.
It's all a scam.
You gave it all away. All the smart credit we built, you gave it all away.
Can I just say, going back to you guys had an end of times conversation several days ago, and Rachel said something about I'm going to get my cat to Grafton, and Dave said that sounded like a euphemism. I agree.
Well, there's another tab closed.
What the hell?
All right.
She's been sitting
had
on that
tab open for days.
I thought of that because you said, I'm from Grafton. I was like, I'm going to get your cat
it
to
sounds
Grafton.
Like a code. Like, I get the cat to Grafton. Grafton.
Here's, oh, my God. Amy's an enigma.
Oh, yeah.
She's just like, book, smart thing. And it's like, we're going to break. We're wrapping it up. And then she's like, oh, wait, one second. I have something completely unrelated.
Yes.
That is Amy Mark scores dirty. And I'm going to say it now.
It's
how many times?
Dirty.
I'm real dumb.
How many times does this lady bring...
What do you think taking your cat to Grafton means?
It's so... She's like, it's not dirty.
I didn't think it was dirty. I guess now I can see how...
Then what makes it funny?
Then why is it funny if it's not dirty?
It's a funny thing to say.
Come on, Amy.
You are lying.
Like, I didn't think the salami thing was dirty.
If I said, I'm taking the dog to Hartford... It makes no sense.
I knew the salami could be bad. I didn't know your cat to Grafton was bad.
You are lying.
Oh, Amy.
Oh, boy.
We'll explain it on the break.
You explain it on the break. I'm already in trouble with this. She had low flow hair. And then what did Mr. Glover do? Well, he explained cat and Grafton.
Oh.
Neil Vitan. Thank you, Neil Vitan, for saving me. Wheeler doing this.
Sorry, I turned it off.
Wheeler immediately started breakdancing or something. 152 DGS. Man, I love the crossover hour. It's a Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. When I don't know where something's going, that's saying something.
Well.
So, speaking of unpredictable, what did the guy just post?
Oh, he said, root beer tastes like Abraham Lincoln looks, and I can't explain that. And it makes sense.
I totally
get it.
I think that's how I think. I think in abstracts like that.
Yeah.
I do too sometimes. I can't figure that one out. Is it
really?
Because of the old-timey labels or something? You know,
no,
like every root beer
tastes.
Feels like an old-timey label.
I have one from today.
Okay.
I'm confident enough to share this in therapy today. And there's no secret. I've talked about it for years that I was born anxious. I'll die anxious. And my therapist is like, what's it feel like? What's it feel like? Because he's trying to get me to feel more and think less. And I'm like, I know exactly what it feels like. Mm-hmm. It feels like if you wash a sweater and you leave it in the washer for a couple weeks and then you pull it out and it's still damp, but now it's mildewy. I feel like I'm wearing that sweater all the time, but on the inside of my body. That's what anxiety feels like to me. Cold, sour, kind of icky. Mm. And then when it gets bad, it's like if you took a car battery and hooked it up to it and the little impulses come through it. That's like when it's really bad. So someone out there who has anxiety will go, damn, that's exactly what mine feels like too.
Does it feel heavy? Like, almost like you've got a physical burden on you.
Like like you have a weighted sweater on.
Yes.
But it's made of... nastiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else have anything like that, like abstract analogies that you think of, like the root beer and Abe Lincoln or my mildew sweater on the inside?
I know we talk about like how random I am, and I also love running. And here's why. My brain really is, like we say it as a joke, it really is like having 1,000 tabs open, like on your computer. And when you know that stress you feel when you have 1,000 tabs open, and I'm processing all 1,000 tabs all the time, and I jump from tab to tab. And it's fun, but it's exhausting. So when I run, and let's say I'm doing a really hard workout, people say, well, why do you do that? When it gets hard enough, it's the only time I'm on one tab because I'm just so focused on
I get that.
Breathing and moving forward. So for me, I feel like I'm living with 1,000 tabs open in my head all the time. And I think it's why I'm not observant around about the world around me. I miss a lot.
I may have met my match when it comes to open tabs, but my brain's similar to yours. I always say it's like a electrical storm going on. And I've told the guys this at night. One of the last things I do before we go to bed is I put on one of my nerd shows, Ancient Alien something, and then I put a rain sound on my phone and play it on my chest, close my eyes, and I find the in-between because I put the voices low enough that I can hear them, but I can't make out what they're saying, and then the rain sound, and I mentally go in between those, and that's the only time I really find anything approximating peace.
I use a white noise maker at night. I have to turn it on.
I do, too.
Yeah. Do you?
I use a fan, or if I don't have the fan available, like I'm not at home, I will.
Oh, man. Hell to me.
I'll use that
Rich,
app.
I think you said this recently.
Why are hotels so loud? Why don't all hotels come with noise machines?
Yeah. Yours was, I think you described, like at one point you're laying there, and it was dead silent and kind of hot, right? Like, I hate that. Like, I've got to.
You know, the first thing I do when I get to a hotel is I go find the thermostat and I will find the high because usually there's a fan like auto, low, high. I always put it on high, but the right temperature just so that that thing is constantly blowing.
And they used to have box fans when the girls and I went college stay in and we're staying in hotels. And I'd say, do you have a box fan? They looked at me like I was like George Gobel or something from the Ford. They're like, a what? I'm like, a box fan. You got a box fan?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.